In the heart of 18th century America, a tale of courage and cultural collision unfolds that would captivate generations of readers worldwide. James Fenimore Cooper's masterpiece stands as one of the most influential American novels ever written, selling millions of copies since its 1826 publication and inspiring countless film adaptations. This quintessentially American adventure story was, ironically, composed while Cooper lived in Paris, drawing on his memories of the New York wilderness. The novel's enduring appeal transcends borders. Theodore Roosevelt praised it as capturing the soul of the wilderness, while cultural icons from Ernest Hemingway to Daniel Day-Lewis have cited its influence. Beyond entertainment, it represents one of the earliest attempts to grapple with America's complex identity, the tragic displacement of native peoples, and the moral ambiguities of westward expansion, themes that continue to resonate in American consciousness nearly two centuries later. The novel opens against a backdrop of colonial vulnerability. Great Britain's military reputation has crumbled due to incompetent leadership abroad and weak governance at home. Though innocent of these failures, American colonists bear the consequences as frontier settlements lie exposed to attack. A young Virginian officer, implied to be George Washington, has recently saved a British army from complete annihilation by French and Indian forces. But the psychological damage is done. Rational calculation has given way to fear even among the bravest colonists. At Fort Edward, news arrives that French General Montcalm is advancing toward Fort William Henry with a massive army. British General Webb reluctantly sends only 1,500 soldiers to reinforce the Scottish commander Munro at the threatened fort. After these troops depart, a smaller party prepares to follow, including two young women of rank with their escort, Major Duncan Hayward. The party also includes a peculiarly proportioned singing master with biblical speech patterns and a stoic Indian guide who claims to know a faster route to Fort William Henry. The younger sister, Alice, expresses distrust of their Indian guide, but is persuaded to proceed by Hayward. As they enter the forest path, they're joined by David Gamet, the ungainly singing master, who insists on accompanying them despite Hayward's cold reception. Alice, amused by the newcomer, convinces Hayward to allow him to join. As they proceed deeper into the wilderness, unknown to the travelers, a savage face watches from the bushes, tracking their movements with gleaming exultation. The narrative brilliantly establishes the precarious position of European settlers in this contested wilderness. Neither fully at home nor complete strangers, they move through a landscape where danger lurks behind every tree and cultural misunderstanding can prove fatal. Cooper captures the fundamental anxiety of colonial America, a society caught between European roots and an American identity still being forged through blood and hardship on the frontier. A few miles westward, two men rest beside a stream in the drowsy heat of a July afternoon. One is a native warrior with painted body and scalping tuft, the other a white frontiersman carrying a remarkably long rifle. These are Chingachgook and Hawkeye, also called La Longue Carabine, whose friendship transcends racial boundaries. Their conversation reveals a mutual respect despite their differences. Hawkeye acknowledges he isn't educated in books but knows the forest ways, while Chingachgook recounts his people's history, how they came from the west, fought the Alligawee, and claimed vast territories before European arrival. With deep emotion, he explains how the Dutch brought fire water, which led his people to foolishly part with their lands. Now he, once a chief and sagamore, has never seen the sunshine except through trees. When Hawkeye asks about Chingachgook's Delaware kin, the chief mournfully replies that all his family has departed to the spirit world. He is the last of his line, and when his son Uncas follows him, there will no longer be any of the blood of the Sagamores, for my boy is the last of the Mohicans. At this moment, Uncas himself appears and reports finding Maqua tracks nearby. Their celebration after a successful deer hunt is interrupted when they detect approaching horses, The very travelers we met earlier, now hopelessly lost due to their treacherous guide. This scene establishes the novel's central theme of cultural extinction. Chingachgook's poignant declaration that his son represents the last of the Mohicans foreshadows the novel's tragic conclusion while highlighting the larger historical process of native displacement. Cooper doesn't present this as simple villainy, but as a complex historical tragedy where European settlement, tribal conflicts, and cultural misunderstandings all contribute to the decline of once mighty peoples. Through Chingachgook's dignified lament, Cooper gives voice to the profound sense of loss experienced by Native Americans while establishing the scout Hawkeye as a cultural bridge figure, a white man who respects Native wisdom and ways. When the travelers encounter Hawkeye and the Mohicans, suspicion immediately arises. The scout expresses alarm upon learning their guide is a Huron adopted by the Mohawks, dismissing him as part of a thievish race. Despite Hayward's defense, Hawkeye insists he who is born a Mingo will die a Mingo, revealing deep-seated tribal animosities. After establishing mutual trust, the scout examines the Indian guide with growing suspicion. When Hayward confesses his own doubts, Hawkeye offers to shoot the guide from where they stand, a cold-blooded solution Hayward refuses. Instead, the Mohicans attempt to capture the guide, but he escapes with a piercing cry, despite a rifle shot that leaves only a blood trail. As darkness falls, Hayward grows increasingly anxious about his charge's safety. He pleads with the woodsmen not to abandon them, offering whatever reward they might name. After deliberation, the scout agrees they cannot leave such harmless things to their fate, though it means sacrificing their hiding place. He refuses Hayward's money, stating they'll help without hope of any other recompense but such as God always gives to upright dealings. The party flees to Glens, a secret refuge near a waterfall where the roaring masks their conversation. The scout skillfully navigates their canoe through treacherous currents to a flat rock, where they disembark and enter a hidden cavern in the rock face. Inside, the scout holds a blazing pine knot that illuminates his weather-beaten features. Nearby stands Uncas, whose noble appearance captivates the travelers, especially Alice and Hayward. This sequence establishes the moral framework of the frontier, where character, not social position, determines worth. Hawkeye's refusal of payment demonstrates frontier honor, while his skepticism toward the Huron guide reveals the complex tribal politics that European settlers often failed to understand. The hidden cave becomes a symbolic space where cultural boundaries temporarily dissolve, allowing the diverse group to form bonds that transcend their differences. Cooper's wilderness is not merely a dangerous backdrop, but an active force that strips away social pretensions and reveals true character. After narrowly escaping an attack at their island refuge, the party eventually reaches Fort William Henry, where Colonel Monroe emotionally reunites with his daughters. The siege continues for 5 days, with Montcalm pressing his advantage while General Webb's army remains inexplicably inactive. The French general has filled the surrounding woods with native allies whose war cries unnerve the British soldiers. On the 5th day, during a temporary ceasefire, Hayward visits the ramparts to survey the scene. The evening is deceptively calm and beautiful, with French fishermen peacefully rowing their skiffs while white flags of truce fly from both positions. Hayward meets with Colonel Monroe, who bitterly notes the absence of Webb's promised reinforcements. Hawkeye has brought a letter from Webb, but Montcalm has kept it while releasing the messenger. When Duncan meets with Montcalm, the French general suggests Monroe has done everything necessary for honor and should now listen to the admonitions of humanity. Monroe remains defiant until Montcalm presents Webb's intercepted letter advising surrender. Devastated by this betrayal, Monroe accepts Montcalm's generous terms. The garrison may keep their arms, colors, and baggage. The night after the capitulation passes with the victorious French celebrating while the defeated English remain dejected. Before dawn, Montcalm intercepts Magua, the escaped Huron guide, preparing to attack someone on the ramparts. Magua bitterly shows his scars from English mistreatment and maintains his right to vengeance despite the official peace. Montcalm, troubled by his ally's uncontrollable hatred, reflects on the danger of setting in motion an engine which it exceeds human power to control. As the English evacuate the fort, they pass beneath the French flag with wounded pride. The sisters join the procession of wounded soldiers and civilians moving across the plain. French soldiers stand respectfully at attention, honoring the terms of surrender, while along the forest edges lurk numerous native warriors. When a dispute erupts over a provincial soldier's possessions, Magua appears among his countrymen, speaking with fatal and artful eloquence. Tensions escalate when a Huron warrior attempts to take a woman's shawl. When she wraps her child in it protectively, the warrior brutally kills both mother and infant. At this moment, Magua sounds the war whoop, triggering over 2,000 warriors to pour from the forest in a horrific massacre. Amidst the chaos, Magua discovers the sisters and seizes Cora, showing his blood-stained hands. When she rejects him, he grabs the unconscious Alice and flees toward the woods, with Cora following desperately. This pivotal sequence reveals the fragility of European civilization in the wilderness. Despite formal agreements between French and British forces, the indigenous allies follow their own codes of conduct, resulting in one of American literature's most horrifying scenes. Cooper doesn't shy away from depicting frontier violence in all its brutality. Yet he avoids simplistic villainization of Native Americans by showing Montcalm's culpability in unleashing forces he cannot control. The massacre represents the clash between European concepts of warfare and indigenous practices, a cultural collision with devastating consequences. After the massacre, Hawkeye, Uncas, and Chingachgook join Monroe and Hayward to search for the missing women. They discover a trail leading into the wilderness and follow it to a Huron encampment where the sisters are held captive. There, Magua reveals his bitter history to Cora. Born a Huron chief, corrupted by the white man's firewater, driven from his tribe, and eventually becoming a warrior among the Mohawks. He explains that Monroe had him tied and whipped publicly for drinking, leaving scars that shame him. Magua demands that Cora become his wife to satisfy his vengeance against Monroe. When she refuses with disgust, he declares that while Monroe's body would sleep among his cannon, his heart would be within reach of Lee Subtil's knife. Magua then delivers an impassioned speech to his warriors, recounting their losses and stirring them to rage by reminding them of their unavenged dead. The captives are bound to trees while the Hurons prepare various torments. Just as the execution is about to begin, Hawkeye and his companions launch a surprise attack, rescuing the captives after fierce hand-to-hand combat. Magua escapes by leaping over a cliff into a thicket below. After collecting weapons from the fallen Hurons, the party continues their journey toward safety. This section reveals the complex motivations behind Magua's villainy. Rather than a one-dimensional antagonist, he emerges as a man shaped by colonial injustice and personal humiliation. His demand that Cora become his wife represents not just lust, but a symbolic revenge against white authority. Cooper's nuanced portrayal of Magua acknowledges the legitimate grievances of Native peoples while still condemning his methods. The rescue scene demonstrates the frontier skills that allow Hawkeye and the Mohicans to navigate between worlds, using both European firearms and indigenous fighting techniques to overcome their enemies. After several narrow escapes, the party splits up. Duncan disguises himself as a medicine man to infiltrate the Huron camp, where he discovers Alice instead of Cora. With Hawkeye's help, disguised as a bear, they rescue Alice and later free Uncas. Meanwhile, Magua takes Cora to a neighboring Delaware tribe. When Magua arrives at the Delaware camp, he employs sophisticated diplomacy to claim his prisoners. He distributes plundered gifts with calculated generosity and cleverly insinuates that the Delawares harbor La Longue Carabine, the Yengee's greatest warrior and enemy of the French. This revelation forces the Delaware elders to call a formal assembly. During this council, the ancient patriarch Tamenund presides with the dignity of his 90 winters. When Uncas is brought forward, Tamenund recognizes him as the panther of his tribe, the eldest son of the Lenape, the wisest sagamore of the Mohicans. Uncas eloquently explains how his people were driven from their ancestral lands. Once, we slept where we could hear the salt lake speak in its anger. When a pale face was seen on every brook, we followed the deer back to the river of our nation. Despite Uncas winning over the assembly, tribal law requires that Magua's claim to Korah be honored. When Hayward and Hawkeye offer themselves in exchange, Magua refuses all bargains. In a heart-rending farewell, Korah entrusts Alice to Hayward's care and stoically prepares to follow her captor. This sequence reveals the complex web of tribal politics and honor codes that govern frontier interactions. The Delaware judgment scene stands as one of American literature's most powerful depictions of indigenous governance, showing the formal eloquence and adherence to principle that characterize tribal councils. Cooper presents Tamenund with profound respect as a figure of wisdom and moral authority, while Uncas's speech about his people's displacement carries the weight of historical tragedy. The scene's tension derives from the conflict between justice and law. While the Delawares recognize Magua's malevolence, they feel bound by their customs to honor his claim. After Magua departs with Korah, Uncas organizes a war party. The Delaware warriors move silently through the forest toward the Huron village. After a fierce battle, the Hurons retreat to their settlement, where they make their stand. Though many fall to Uncas's tomahawk and Hawkeye's rifle, Magua escapes with Korah and two companions, fleeing into a cave and up the mountain. Near the summit, Korah refuses to go further, stopping on a ledge overlooking a precipice. Magua presents her with a terrible choice: the wigwam or the knife. Korah kneels, raises her eyes to heaven, and submits herself to God's will. When she refuses to choose, one of Magua's companions stabs her. Uncas leaps onto the ledge from a fearful height, but is mortally wounded by Magua. From above, Hayward cries for mercy, but Magua responds with a savage cry of triumph. Hawkeye arrives to find only the dead. Spotting Magua attempting to escape along the cliff edge, he raises his rifle. The shot strikes true, and though Magua briefly clings to the edge with a defiant gesture, his grip fails, sending him plummeting to his death. The morning after the battle finds the Lenape Nation in mourning, despite their victory. The tribe gathers around Korah's flower-covered body and Uncas's dignified remains. Colonel Monroe sits at his daughter's feet, bowed in grief, while Chingachgook stares unblinking at his son's face. Delaware women sing mournful chants praising Uncas as the panther of his tribe and speaking tenderly of Korah, noting that Uncas had found no favor in Delaware girls, preferring the pale-faced maiden. When all the funeral rites are complete, Chingachgook finally speaks. "Why do my brothers mourn? A young man has gone to the happy hunting grounds with honor. The Manitou had need of such a warrior. I am alone." Hawkeye interrupts, unable to maintain his composure. "No, Sagamore, not alone. The gifts of our colors may be different, but God has placed us to journey in the same path." The two woodsmen grasp hands across the fresh earth as tears fall upon Uncas's grave like drops of falling rain. In the profound silence that follows, Tamenund rises to disperse the gathering with the sorrowful observation that he has lived to witness the last warrior of the wise race of the Mohicans. This climactic sequence fulfills the novel's tragic vision. Uncas and Korah's deaths represent not just personal tragedy, but the symbolic end of possibilities for racial harmony and understanding. Their mutual attraction, hinted at throughout the narrative, could never find fulfillment in the divided world of the frontier. Magua's death brings justice, but not restoration. What has been lost cannot be recovered. The final image of Hawkeye and Chingachgook united in grief offers a small consolation that friendship can transcend racial boundaries, even as larger historical forces drive peoples apart. Tominon's closing words acknowledge the inexorable tide of history that will sweep away not just individuals, but entire cultures, making the novel both an adventure tale and an elegy for a vanishing world. Throughout the narrative, Hawkeye emerges as Cooper's most complex and enduring character, a man who straddles cultural boundaries while maintaining his own distinct moral code. His practical wilderness knowledge repeatedly saves the party from disaster, whether navigating treacherous waters, tracking enemies, or interpreting subtle signs in nature that others overlook. Yet beyond these practical skills, Hawkeye embodies a distinct frontier philosophy that challenges both European refinement and indigenous spirituality. When David Gamet attempts to engage him in theological debate, Hawkeye responds that he reads only from nature's book, drawing faith from the natural world rather than doctrine. He expresses skepticism toward formal religion while maintaining a deep reverence for creation, telling Duncan, "I hope to die in my moccasins with no enemies near me to be slain in cold blood. The gifts of our colors may be different, but God has placed us to journey the same path." This natural philosophy extends to his views on race. While acknowledging racial differences, he frequently refers to his gifts as distinct from those of the Mohicans, he rejects the notion that these differences determine moral worth. His friendship with Chingachgook transcends racial boundaries, based on mutual respect and shared experiences rather than blood or background. When Chingachgook laments being alone after Uncas's death, Hawkeye's response, "No, Sagamore, not alone," represents the novel's most powerful statement of cross-cultural brotherhood. Hawkeye's character embodies the American frontier ideal, self-reliant, practical, and guided by experience rather than abstract principles. His rejection of both European refinement and tribal superstition in favor of his own empirical observations makes him a uniquely American archetype. Through this character, Cooper suggests that the frontier experience might forge a new kind of American, one who draws from multiple cultural traditions while remaining beholden to none. Cooper's novel transcends simple adventure by confronting readers with the tragic cost of America's westward expansion. The deaths of Uncas and Cora represent not just personal tragedies, but the symbolic extinction of possibilities, both for the native peoples displaced by settlement and for genuine cross-cultural understanding between Europeans and indigenous Americans. Their doomed relationship embodies the larger cultural divisions that would define American history, while Magua's complex character serves as a dark reminder of how colonial interference corrupted traditional tribal relationships. Tamanin's final words, "The pale faces are masters of the earth, and the time of the red men has not yet come again," acknowledge the inexorable tide of history that would indeed sweep away most Native American cultures from their ancestral lands. This prophetic statement gains additional poignancy when viewed through the lens of subsequent historical events, the Indian Removal Act, the Trail of Tears, and countless broken treaties. Yet Cooper refuses simple villainization, showing how both European and indigenous actions contributed to this outcome. The French manipulation of tribal animosities, British military incompetence, and ancient tribal conflicts all play roles in the unfolding tragedy. The complex web of alliances and betrayals mirrors the actual historical complexity of frontier relationships. The novel setting at a pivotal moment in American history, just before the French and Indian War would determine North America's colonial future, allows Cooper to explore how individual lives become entangled in larger historical forces. Characters like Monroe, Webb, and Montcalm represent the old European order whose decisions shape countless lives, while Hawkeye and the Mohicans represent those who must navigate the consequences of those decisions on the ground. Hawkeye's character particularly embodies this tension, straddling both worlds but ultimately belonging to neither, foreshadowing the cultural displacement that would characterize American expansion. By the novel's end, multiple forms of frontier life have been extinguished or diminished. The proud Mohican lineage, the honorable British military tradition, and the possibility of peaceful coexistence between cultures. The death of Uncas, the last of the Mohican line, serves as a powerful metaphor for the broader extinction of Native American ways of life. What remains is a transformed landscape where the wilderness itself has become a battleground rather than a sacred space. The pristine forests described in early chapters give way to scenes of violence and destruction, mirroring the actual environmental transformation of the American frontier. Cooper's achievement lies in making readers feel this loss not as abstract history, but as immediate human tragedy, creating in the process one of American literature's most powerful meditations on cultural collision and the price of progress. Through intimate portraits of characters caught in historical crosscurrents, he transforms the frontier from a simple setting into a complex moral landscape where questions of civilization, progress, and cultural preservation remain unresolved. The novel's enduring relevance lies in its ability to capture this pivotal moment when America's trajectory toward westward expansion became irreversible, while simultaneously mourning the cultural and environmental costs of that transformation.